Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
On Twitter at Rich Scioli and streaming live on YouTube right now for your viewing pleasure and also your chatting pleasure as well. So join the fun. Daniel Turner is the founder and executive director of Power of the Future. You can follow him on X at Daniel Turner PTF. I talked to him about all things fighting commies and saving American energy independence. What's up, my man? How you doing?
Richard, it's great to be on with you. Thank you.
How much bourbon did you have last night during the debate? That's what I want to know.
I actually stuck with beer.
You did.
I keep a little bit of a clearer head, yes.
Wow. All right. So I was drinking wine, and I texted you. I texted Turner in the middle of the debate. I go, I need you tomorrow. He goes, Rich, I need you every day. I was like, all right, good. I like
that.
We need you tomorrow. That was a beer. Yeah, exactly, right? This Waltz guy's is a mess. And I really thought J.D. Vance was great on the subject of American energy last night. Give me your 30,000-foot view, first of all, and then we'll drill in.
Yeah, you know, I'm confused at the rollout of Tim Waltz because the Kamala campaign team screwed this up. They clearly chose him to make her more likable. And, you know, they wanted to play his, aw, shucks, I'm just a Midwestern kind of guy and I'm a football coach. But if you recall, as soon as he got the job, he immediately came out of the gate attacking. J.D. Vance is weird, right, making a lot of nasty comments about the president, aggressive. So they wanted him to be this sweet, lovable grandpa, but they made him become an attack dog. And last night we saw a little bit of neither, right? So I think the American people are confused by Tim Waltz. Who is he? Are we supposed to like him because he's a coach? Or are we supposed to get in line because he's a coach? So I think the Kamala Harris team, they messed this up bad. The person who was drunker than us last night must have been Josh Shapiro because Waltz really struggled. He was clearly very nervous. You know, it was Shapiro's to have, except he's, you know, a little too Jewish for the Kamala campaign.
I mean, as
blunt as it is, they just said, like, we're not picking a Jewish guy. We need to win Michigan. Sorry, Josh. So, Josh, you know, if you just were a little less Jewish, that could have been you last night.
I mean, let's face it. It's the truth. There's no other reason. If they had picked Josh Shapiro, they would have had an attack dog and a guy who's fighting for Pennsylvania. And you know, there's a story in the Inquirer today about how, for the first time, all these blue collar voters in Philly are voting Republican, and how that could hurt Kamala Harris. So, I mean, Waltz was a terrible pick. He really was a terrible pick all around the board. And I also think, too, you know, the whole, like, Midwestern goofy doofus like Chris Farley, like, hey, you know, coming out there with big belly hanging out and then, you know, jumping around and jumping up and down and hugging the gopher, whatever the hell that was. I think it just comes across goofy at a time when people are looking for stability. And I think it's just it's off in every area. The guy's off. And the other thing, too, is I don't think I'd want him around my kids. You know, I'm just saying. I think maybe like 100 feet or something around my children.
No, I'm with you 100%. He definitely, they keep talking about how this is a vibes campaign, and he gives off vibes. I'm not sure if they're the vibes they want to give off, but he does give off a certain vibe. But I agree with you. The goofiness is not working. There may have been a time in American history, maybe you have to go back to 1984, right, where the economy's roaring and things are great and Back to the Future is on, and people could have said, do we really need this aggressive Reagan, right, always talking about the Soviets? Maybe it's time to get this lovable goofball. But you know, I don't know if there was ever a time that America was such a place of prosperity and tranquility that we could have gone with the goofball character. It certainly is not right now, right? No. The world is in chaos, and we need some leadership, not the lovable goofball. Right now is not the time to elect the class
clown. This isn't a friggin' sitcom. I mean, this isn't an America's Dad where it's like, you know, it's a comedy on Thursday nights about, oh, the vice president's here. Hey, kids.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something else, too. Geographically speaking, what the hell is picking a guy from Minnesota get you as the Democrats when you've won Minnesota every year since, what, 1984, I guess? So I don't understand that either, just from a geographic perspective.
It really is, because Kamala knows that nobody likes her. And she reminds people of either their first wife or the school librarian or their mother-in-law. She does. That's why she has always been one of the most unpopular candidates every time she's run. Remember in 2019, when there were 23 people running for office, she was the first to drop out. Andrew Yang did better. Amy Klobuchar did better. Elizabeth Warren did better. A lot of people did better than Kamala because no one likes her. So they had to make her palatable by giving her a goofball sidekick. I liken it to the main couple in the TV sitcom Modern Family, Phil and Claire. Right? Claire is the tough, kind of attractive woman who's no nonsense and has the act together and runs a tight household. And Phil, her husband, you know, he doesn't put the lid on the blender properly, and he jokes around with the kids, and they play off each other like, you're a moron, I'm in control, you're too uptight, I'm the good one. But again, we're not a sitcom, right? No. We're a country, and we need to be run by leaders, not by characters.
Listen, I know you appreciate this because, you know, you and I have had dinner together, and you know that I'm a nice guy, and I have friends who are Democrats, and One of my good friends, she's a professor. She's a Pennsylvania suburban voter, and she really does not like Trump. She really does not like Trump. But she thinks Waltz is the biggest freaking goofball ever. And she said exactly what you just said. Like, what were they doing with this? And she said she sent a text last night to her group of suburban mom Democrat friends. And they were all saying the same thing. Like, what? Why? Why? Yeah. You know, and then that deer in headlights look he has, you know, like just staring at the camera. And then when he goes, I'm a knucklehead, you're like, man, this is just. But then Vance was really good. That's the other problem for Waltz last night, is that the contrast was awful. I mean, for him, because J.D. Vance came and did a great job last night. He was poised. He was articulate. He had his ass together. I don't think Walt's prepared, because that first answer, he came right out of the gate. He was bumbling and stumbling like it was a freaking Thursday night sitcom. So it's like, oh, America's Dad forgot to prepare for the big debate. Ha, 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 class. But JD was polished. And I think people are looking for that because they're thinking, all right, Trump, there's been two assassination attempts. He's around 80 years old. There's a possibility whoever is the VP could take over. There's a possibility just we're living in a time where there could be, you know, God forbid, an assassination attempt. The vice presidential race may actually matter this time around versus in previous years where no one really cared. And I think J.D. Reassured people that he could do the job if they had any doubts about that.
I think he really impressed people who, if they did not know him, or they only heard what the media said about him. And that's on the media, right? That's them deliberately trying to make him be some sort of heartless monster, right? They told a lot of fake stories, and they made up a lot of garbage about him, and the media all ran with it to make him some sort of weird pervert. Right? That's the media doing its dutiful job. But if you went into that with an open mind, you realize, like, I kind of like this guy, and I've always liked him. I joke that I was, you know, an original JD fan because I read Hillbilly Elegy when it came out. I was starting Power of the Future, and the whole organization, the whole ethos of my organization are forgotten energy workers in rural America. Now, JD's not from an energy area, but as part of Appalachia, he's from a forgotten part of America, just like, you know, North Carolina and Tennessee right now are forgotten parts of America. If they were a different race, if they were a different socioeconomic status, they'd be all over the news. But they're not. They're average middle-class, middle-of-America white people, and no one cares. Their neighborhoods have been destroyed, right? So no one cares that we destroyed Cleveland and Toledo and Pittsburgh and sent all their jobs to China and Mexico. It's the forgotten part of America. And so I've been high on JD since he was an author, let alone a political commentator, let alone a senator, and now vice president. But listening to him, and if people gave him an open mind, they said he's a really likable, nice guy. He's turned his life around, and he went from a drug-abused mother to the military to Yale. But that's America for you. That's something to celebrate. Again, Tim Walz used to make fun of that, you know, make fun of the fact that he went to Yale. So they made him this weird attack dog. Now we don't know who Tim Walz is, but boy, we know who J.D. Vance is, and America likes him.
Daniel Turner's with me. He is the founder and executive director of Power of the Future. You can follow him on social media at Daniel Turner PTF. I want to play a clip for you, get your thoughts on it. This is where they talked about solar panels. So let's cue up cut number seven, Matt. And I'm glad that they talked about this. And by the way, did you see, somebody sent me a clip the other day of, I guess they had all these solar panels in like the Indian Ocean or something, and they all got washed out to sea. Did you see that?
I did not know. Do they float?
They were like floating, and then I guess there was a bad storm, and they all floated away. And then, I mean, it's not something to joke about, but you've got these electric vehicles that the salt water from the floods is making them blow up. And I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that there's a hurricane and it's killing people, that would make me laugh. But if people are getting hurt, I don't want to laugh. But I mean, like, these EVs are blowing up because of salt water. That's not good. That's not a good thing. I don't think anybody thinks that that's a good thing.
No, that's not a good thing. It's one of the big drawbacks about them. Also, the drawback is that part of America now has been without power for five days. If you had a full tank of gas and you had a couple, you know, backup gas cans, you can go 400, 500, 800 miles. If you have an EV, you're stranded. And that's a reality of the EV. If the grid goes down, you do not have power. And we saw that in California, where Gavin Newsom was telling folks, hey, the grid is struggling. Don't charge your EVs tonight. And dutiful Californians complied. They didn't charge their EVs that night until the fire came. And then they had to escape, and they had no power. So, yeah, that's a real drawback about EVs. That's part of the conversation we'd be having as the Biden administration and Kamala Harris is pushing us to buy this crappy product.
It seems like if you're going to mandate EVs and then tell people you can't charge them because our grid can't sustain them, then maybe you shouldn't mandate that people buy them. I'm going on a limb here. That sounds crazy. I know I'm throwing out crazy ideas, but it's like you have to buy this. Also, you can't use it because you can't charge it because our grid can't sustain it. But you have to buy it anyway, and you have to use it even though you can't use it. And I'm getting ahead of myself with common sense. So let's just jump into the clip, shall we? Cut number seven. Take a listen.
If they really believe that climate change is serious, what they would be doing is more manufacturing and more energy production in the United States of America, and that's not what they're doing. So clearly, Kamala Harris herself doesn't believe her own rhetoric on this. If she did, she would actually agree with Donald Trump's energy policies. Now, something Governor Walz said I think is important to touch upon, because when we talk about clean energy, I think that's a slogan that often the Democrats will use here. And I'm talking, of course, about the Democratic leadership, and the real issue is that if you're spending hundreds of millions or even billions of dollars of American taxpayer money on solar panels that are made in China, number one, you're going to make the economy dirtier. We should be making more of those solar panels here in the United States of America. Some of them are, Tim, but a lot of them are being made overseas in China, especially the components that go into those solar panels. So if you really want to make the environment cleaner, you've got to invest in more energy production. We haven't built a nuclear facility, I think one, in the past 40 years.
Senator.
Natural gas, we got to invest more in it. Kamala Harris has done the opposite. That's raised energy prices and also meant that we're doing
worse
by the climate.
Senator, your time is up.
Your time is up. I think he nailed that answer. Your time is up, Senator. Speaking of your librarian mother-in-law.
He never got the thank yous that Governor Walz would finish rambling on something and he would get thank you, Governor. And
right.
J.D. Vance would just get your time is up.
Your time is up. It just starts pointing at the watch. I thought he nailed that answer, though. I thought that was great.
It made me cry. You know, it was so beautiful
that
to
was
see
the beer,
someone
Turner. That was yeah. The beer
just someone who absolutely gets it, right, and says it so succinctly, and that all Americans understood. We have an administration that has bought more oil and gas from Saudi Arabia, from Venezuela. We've lifted sanctions on Iran, and they have now record oil production. We see what they're doing with their profits, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have an administration that has made China incredibly rich because we're buying their crappy wind and solar. So when J.D. Vance said it, Kamala Harris herself doesn't even believe this because her policy prescriptions are the exact opposite. And that nails it, right? If you tell me you really believe in climate change and therefore we're going to chop down trees and buy solar panels made in China and turn all this into a solar hellscape, you're going to say, well, that doesn't seem to address the concern you have. It just seems like you're shoving something down my throat if it doesn't fix the problem. Kind of like the way Dr. Fauci said, yeah, we all knew the mask stuff and the 6 feet was stupid, but we did it anyway.
No, he said the 6 feet. He's like, we just made it up. It was like, yep. 6 feet. What? Yeah. Why not? You know, it's like,
it's
sure.
Same mentality, right? We know it doesn't solve the problem, but we're going to force you to do it anyway. Why?
Yeah.
Right. Why? That's not freedom. That's not even moral. Right. It's not even logical, but it is definitely un-American. And so, yeah, J.D. Vance understands the energy issue way better than I thought he did. And it gives me real hope that we can stop some of this nonsense. Look, even Kamala has flip-flopped on the EV mandates. And now she says she no longer believes that.
Right.
Because as you well outlined, she realizes how unpopular they are.
Here's the test with Kamala Harris. If she was for something in 2019, she's against it now. If she was against something in 2019, she's for it now. That's just how you know the Kamala Harris now, if you want to do the before and after. I'd love to see her debate herself. I think it'd be hysterical. It'd be a lot of fun, actually. last question I want to ask you is, did you think that enough emphasis was placed on the mining of minerals in this country? And I mean, just more broadly, too, I mean, I don't think have the conversation enough just from a human rights perspective about what happens when you've got kids and slave labor and mining for these rare earth minerals that are needed for batteries and everything else. I don't think the conversation happens enough. I don't think most people even know what goes on.
No, that's a great point. And Governor Walz's state, Minnesota, has one of the largest discoveries of copper in the world, let alone the fact that it's in the United States. It's called Twin Metals Mine. And now Tim Walz is pushing an agenda that requires us to go green. Going green requires a tripling of our copper production, a quadrupling. We need every EV, every solar panel, every battery has a tremendous amount of copper in it. So you would say, okay, you want us to go green. Going green needs copper. We've discovered a copper mine in Minnesota. Tim Walz, no, you can't open that mine. And Biden administration can't open that mine. Why? Because of climate change. So that's one of the examples of how their own policies are nonsensical. That's a point to hammer him on. If you believe this, why do you want us to get copper from the third world with slave labor? An awful environmental record, groundwater contamination, human rights abuse. Why would we not open this mine in Minnesota? That's the inconsistency of the liberal and definitely of the climate liberal.
Yeah, well said, my friend. Well said. All right, follow Daniel on social media at Daniel Turner PTF. I'm sure we'll be chatting again soon, buddy, and have a great rest of your day.
That was a good time to be on with you. Thank you.
You got it.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, we are going to be at the Grand Hotel of Cape May 1 week from Friday, so mark your calendar. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a blast. I'm excited. Our live shows are always great. All right, I want to take your calls. I want to take your thoughts. Give me your thoughts and your calls. 855-839-1210. We're also streaming live on YouTube. And, you know, in the future, very soon, very, very soon, interviews like that, we're going to stream them. So you'll be able to see my guests. So you don't just have to stare at my face the entire time. Although, I mean, obviously this face, charming with that olive oil hair and that, I can't say the word, you know, the charm. But, you know, I can't say the, because it's a godfather, but you know what I mean. But, hey, you know who's a whack job is Olivia Nuzzi. DeSantis, I'm going to go on record here. And I know I'm not a doctor and a psychologist, and I probably can't say this about her, but I think she's crazy. That's my clinical diagnosis of this. Crazy.
Oh, yeah, with the new details that came out, undoubtedly insane.
This is the woman who had to take a leave from Axios, I guess it is, and she was a political writer there, and she's allegedly...
New Yorker.
yeah, had an affair with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And now there's allegations about her ex-fiance. And I think the clinical definition, and again, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a psychiatrist. I believe the clinical definition is bunny boiler, if I'm not mistaken. I believe if you look in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Psychiatric Disorders, it says bunny boiler is what you look at. One who will take your kid's bunny and boil it on the stovetop. And I believe she fits all the diagnostic care. And I believe you got to be like 5 of the 10 is usually what they say. I believe she meets about 8 or 9, maybe possibly all 10. Might be all 10 here. Oh, this one. This one.
Well, yeah, now she's accusing her ex-fiance, Ryan Leza of Politico, of harassing her, which is what RFK Jr. accused her of doing to him.
Right.
So the whole thing seems insane. At least now I think we can determine where that RFK Jr. Olivia Nuzzi affair story came from. It was definitely Ryan Leza, right?
Well, I would think that he's the disgruntled ex-fiance, but here's my advice to Ryan Leza, whatever his name is, if he's listening to the show. Dude, you dodged a freight train. No, not that. They don't go fast enough. You dodged a speeding locomotive that was about 8 seconds away from... I don't even want to say dodged a bullet, because, I mean, you dodged crazy. Like, you could have bunnies. You could have bunnies now. Your children could have bunnies, too. And more details about this story coming out every day. I go, this is some crazy stuff here. I'll tell you what. And... I'm looking at this and I'm just thinking that the problem is a lot of these media writers are huge narcissists and they think that they are bigger than the people they're covering. They think they're stars. And we live in an age where even political writers become celebrities. It's insane, but it's the times we live in. All right, we'll talk about all that straight ahead, including more of your thoughts on the debate. 855-839-1210. Plus, as the union boss who came out and said, I'm not going to do nothing and the economy is going to get crippled. And you know what? You can kiss my you know what. Turns out that guy. And I know him and I know his kid and I know the family. But there's details about where he lives, which I know where he lives, and details about his house, his lavish mansion, his boats, et cetera, his cars, all coming out as we enter day 2 of this big strike. My question for you is, have you seen any shortages of anything in the grocery stores as of yet? Let me know either on the YouTube chat or on Twitter or by calling the show. We'll be right back. And I can tell you about Emmons Roofing and Siding because my great friends over there would love to help you the way they've helped me all these years. So Emmons has an inflation relief discount of 10% off for each and every one of my listeners. 10% for each and every one of my listeners. That's Emmons Roofing and Siding. You can trust the team at Emmons. They are the best. They are solid. And Matt and Stephanie will make sure that you are happy because they know how important you are to me. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. Oh, if you have a Jersey Shore house, or if you have any house, but you've got to start thinking about the fact that winter's coming. And if you have any cracks, winter is going to make them a whole lot worse. So get that roof inspected. But how about 10% off roofing, siding, Anderson window replacement, doors, and so much more. Just use the company that I've used in my home in 2 different homes, the old home and the new home, over the course of 10 different years. 10 years. It's great. EmmonsRoofing.com, EmmonsRoofing.com. EmmonsRoofing.com, 10% off inflation relief discount, EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Democrats are losing ground big time with working class voters, and even the Philadelphia Inquirer has to point that out. Anna Orso, Layla Jones, Julia Taruso, Asim Shukla wrote this piece. And they really get into the heart of what I think is at stake in this election right now. And that is that working class people are going to Trump. They are going to Trump in a big, big way. And that's a shift in the electorate. It's a big shift. Democrats have lost coalitions that they've historically had from black voters, Latino voters, and also working class voters as well. And these coalitions are crumbling all around them, and they don't have a way to make up for that gap. That's the problem. It was James Carville who said years ago, he said, the Democrat Party has become the party of the faculty lounge and the coastal elites. If you are losing your coalitions, and look, coalitions are everything. I mean, years ago, I was on a campaign. It was a statewide campaign, and I was the coalition's director. The job was to bring together various coalitions around the Republican candidate for office. If you are losing coalitions that you've traditionally held before, you have to then replace that with something else. If you can't, you can't win, because it's a numbers game. I mean, politics is a numbers game. It's about addition and or subtraction. And then if you are losing numbers, you got to make that up someplace else. Democrats are not doing that. Before I get into more detail on this, let me just quickly go to Joe in Bucks. Hey, Joe, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Rich, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. You bet.
I told your call taker, I just want to lighten things up. I mean, my observation, I mean, Walsh looks like a Muppet to me. I mean, think about it. Mouth is like from ear to ear, right? He's got these beady eyes. And all his mannerisms are like all herky-jerky, like a Muppet, you know? I mean, really, it's the Walsh Muppet.
Yeah, if they made a Muppet that was Tim Walz, it would be as goofy as Tim Walz really looks. They wouldn't even have to exaggerate any of the features. You're spot on about that.
Own it, Rich. Come on.
You got it, buddy. You got it.
Hey, buddy.
All right, Joe. Bye-bye. Thanks for the call, pal. Appreciate it very much. 855-839-1210. So the coalition of working class voters. So this is a really interesting piece, actually. And it's the Inquirer, I know. Just so you know, there's some breaking news around Jack Smith, the special counsel. The Trump campaign is calling the special counsel's new unsealed filing falsehood ridden. But we'll get some details on that. This is all breaking as we speak right now, an unsealing of Jack Smith's indictment against the former president. This is all happening right now. So we'll get you some details on that, I'm sure. Matt DeSantis is furiously working to send me something on this right now. hint, DeSantis, you can get out of your Harvard mascot. Are you panic buying bologna right now as we speak? Is that what it is?
No, I keep a year's supply.
Yeah,
I keep a year's supply in the fridge just in case of an incident like this.
All right. Well, if you can take a break from that and give me something on this Jack Smith story, that would be greatly appreciated, because this is all breaking as we speak right now. That's the afternoon show. It's what we do. We deal with breaking news on this program every day, every day. So the article begins with Gabriel Lopez grew up in a family of Democrats in the Kensington neighborhood of Deep Blue, Philadelphia. So in 2016, the first presidential election, he was old enough to vote in. He picked Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump. He's now 27. Says his views have changed. He switches registration to Republican this year, and he plans to vote for Trump. Democrats keep saying Trump is going to bring down the economy, but he was already president for 4 years and taxes were lower. We're tired of the same politics. We got a different type of guy, and the people actually love him. A home health aide and rideshare driver, Lopez said Democrats haven't kept their promises to bring down prices or improve life in his community. Trump, he said, is at least straightforward. Lopez embodies one of Democrats' biggest problems in Pennsylvania, working class voters in Philadelphia, a once reliable voting bloc for the party, have drifted right in recent years. And they've been disproportionately affected by rising prices over the last several years, an issue many blame Democrats for. Gee, and I wonder if it's things like the sugar tax in Philadelphia, that jerk Jim Kenney imposed on people in Philly, for example, that makes people upset with Democrats, too. And again, I'm not even getting into the crime stuff, but just on the economy aspect of that. It's one of the biggest potential areas of concern for Harris, whose quest for the White House may hinge on Pennsylvania. No, it's not may hinge, will hinge on Pennsylvania. I'm telling you, whoever wins Pennsylvania is going to be president. I said that in 2016. I'm saying it in 2024. Harris's best opportunity to run up her vote total is in Philly, where 20% of the state's Democrats live, but where Democrats bled more votes in 2020 than in any other county. This is really interesting. Biden performed worse than Hillary Clinton did in 41 of the city's 66 political wards. You probably didn't know that. The shift was most stark in working class communities. An Inquirer analysis of election results found that in 2020, Democrats lost the most ground in neighborhoods where education levels were lowest and poverty rates were the highest. By the way, Democrats made the most grounds in areas where there were cemeteries and lots of dead people who were able to vote. That's not in the article. I'm just adding that for some context. Anyway, Democrats gained ground compared to 2016 in Center City and the Northwest. But in relative terms, they lost ground in North and West Philly in particular, as well as parts of the Northeast. Areas of Democratic gains correspond to where college education rates are the highest. Declines happen where college attainment is lowest. Again, that kind of goes with Carville's point, right, about the Democrat Party being the party of the faculty lounge. By the way, Kamala Harris is speaking right now after touring the damage of Helene in Georgia. I'm not going to take it live, but we'll grab some audio for that. If it's worth playing, we'll figure that out. Now, this trend for Democrats losing support. All right. So you think of the college educated affluent type. So let's think about Philadelphia, right? Rittenhouse Square. Great example. You live in Rittenhouse. College educated, you're probably making some good money in corporate America, you're voting Democrat. You're a blue collar guy, maybe in Port Richmond, you know, maybe you're Polish, you're not voting Democrat. All right? I mean, that's really what you look at. You look at the city's breakdown here. And so as you look at these various wards and you go, holy cow. And the shift is happening all throughout the city with the exception really of Center City. Like Center City, Philadelphia, and that's not that big, actually, if you think about it. I mean, it's not even, I would say, where, I mean, neighborhoods there are particularly expensive, yes, definitely, but probably what the expense correlates to is people who can afford that probably have jobs that aren't blue collar. So it kind of makes sense. College educated, they're going with the Democrats. The blue collar guys are thinking about how the Democrats are paying off student loans for people that live in fancy, newly regentrified high rises in places like Center City, Philadelphia, Graduate Hospital. You know what I mean? I mean, a blue collar guy in Port Richmond or a blue collar guy in Kensington or whatever, he's thinking to himself, why the hell, I'm in West Philly, why am I paying off the loans of some jerk who lives in Rittenhouse Square? You know what I mean? Why? He makes more money than I do. Why am I paying off his student loans? I think Democrats made a huge mistake with it. I mean, they've made a lot of mistakes, but that's one of them that'll go down in the record books. Paying off student loans for people off the backs of blue collar workers who used to be your coalition. Your coalition was blue collar workers. And you say to blue collar workers, you get nothing. You get ungots, as my people say. Yeah, we know you got mortgages on your house. We know that you are paying high rent. We know that maybe you're still trying to pay off the truck, you know, for your HVAC company, your plumbing truck, whatever. We don't care. We don't care because we've become the party of the faculty lounge. And here we all decided that higher education is so important and we want it to be free. So we're going to pay off everybody's debt. The rest of you with debt, go F yourselves. We're doing nothing for you. Now, if I'm a blue collar guy in Philadelphia, I'm turning around and going, I voted for you people. And you're going to take my money and do that. And then I'm sitting there watching the Eagles game on Sunday. And I hear Kamala Harris wants to pay for some prisoner to get his schvanz chopped off because he decides he's a woman. No, thank you. I'm good. Like, no, I've had it with you people. I got to get my ass up in the morning. Not me, but I'm the hypothetical blue collar worker. Since now I'm not in mornings anymore, I don't have that problem. But, you know, guys that actually work for a living, I got to get up in the morning. I got to go work long hours. And now I got to pay off student loans for some jerk in Rittenhouse. And I got to pay for some prisoner to get his schvanz chopped off. No, what's wrong with you people? You people are nuts. Remember how a couple weeks ago, and I have a video about this posted on Instagram. I said, what was his name? Van Jones came out and said the Democrats were on a pogo stick of crazy in 2019. No, dude, your party has been on a pogo stick of crazy. Deciding to pay off student loan debt for people that make more money than the people who are paying off the student loan debt is bad politics. That's just bad politics. And the result is this. The trend was consistent across racial groups, though it was most pronounced in majority Latino neighborhoods. That's weird because Trump is such a racist. In two North Philadelphia political wards, including the ones where Lopez lives, Biden in 2020 performed worse in nearly every voting division than Clinton did in 2016. That's weird because Trump's a racist who wants to deport everybody and close the border. And yet, in the Latino neighborhoods, they're outperforming for Trump versus all the other ethnic groups. I wonder. In some areas, voters increasingly cast ballots for Trump. In others, Democratic vote totals declined because turnout did. Fewer people showing up in blue strongholds is effectively a gain for Republicans. Well, I wonder how many of those people moved, and we're just counting them still on the voter rolls. Now, I wonder about that. Turnout in Philadelphia has been a perennial concern for Democrats, blah, 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 blah. But there's also, they say, more enthusiasm that Harris is on the top. I wonder, too, you know, I got to think in terms of working class voters who also see the crime situation happening and think to themselves, this is nuts. I don't want any part of this party anymore. This party has left me, completely abandoned me, and I'm out. If they can't make up that ground with that coalition that they've lost, I'm telling you right now, the Democrats are screwed. Democrats are screwed and they have no chance. Jerry is in Elmer. He wants to weigh in on the debate. Jerry, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great, Jerry. How are you?
Good. Okay. I was generally happy with Vance, but I was disappointed that his people didn't have him prepared for the January 6th question. It's so easy to just say WWDD. What do you mean? Hillary's still complaining about her election. Al Gore is still complaining about his election. It's what Democrats do. And for him to, now all the stations are saying, oh, he won't admit that they lost the election. What a waste of time. The other thing I wanted to say is fact check? No, no, no. These are opinion checks. In every sense of the word, you could tell he appeared on CNN and MSNBC, and he could handle the ridiculous fact checking that they try to do, and that was a good part. But when the January, you know what they do? This is why they won't have Kamala speak, because you take one line and you just drill people. All they're doing on CNN and MSNBC is saying that he wouldn't say January that the election was official. And so I was very disappointed. They should have been ready for that. What do you think?
Well, I think that people care more about grocery prices in January of 2021 than January 6th, to be honest with you. So, you know, I mean, there's no way to answer that question without making, there's no way to answer it really without, you know, getting them that to be the story. And I think if you dodge it, it doesn't become the story, you know, and then the dodging does. But then it's a one day story versus it being a week story. But I can tell you it's all going to be over clips now with this new filing from the special counsel anyway. So
fair enough. That makes you feel a little better because that's all they talked about today was the January 6th.
Yeah. And they're going to talk a lot more. They're going to talk a lot more about it. Jerry, thank you for the call, buddy. I appreciate it very much. I'll get into this breaking news at 5 o'clock with you. But basically, the prosecutor allegations is that Trump committed more crimes to try to overturn the election. So all this is coming out right now as we speak. It's breaking news. And, you know, I will do my best to bring it all to you. And we'll see if we can get, I don't know, DeSantis, see if you can reach out to like McCarthy or John Yoo for me, if you could. See if one of those guys are free. I don't know. I mean, we'll find out. Maybe we'll do something. We'll figure something. Get me anyone.
I'm working on you right now, actually.
You working on me?
No, you. John Yoo, the great
professor. Oh, John Yoo. I thought we were doing an Abbott and Costello bit for a second. Get me Olivia Newsy. I want to boil a bunny. I want to get some tips. Megan Rabbit awesome. Tonight. I want to figure out if I do a white wine base like my grandmother used to use, put some carrots in there. I want her tips on boiling a bunny. Olivia Newsy should do a cooking show on YouTube. All different ways to prepare a rabbit, your kid's rabbit. You know what I mean? That'd be nice. Bunny boiling with Olivia Newsy. All right, let me take a quick break. We'll come right back. We got a lot more to get to in the 5 o'clock hour. I do want to tell you, though, we are going to be live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey on October 11th. I'll give you more details about that on the other side, so don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli and streaming live on YouTube right now. Don is in Franconia. He wanted to talk about the debate last night. Hey, Don.
Yes, thanks for taking my call, Rich. Hey, let's hope that devil doesn't mess up Trump in Georgia.
Yeah. Let's, yeah, go ahead, buddy. Georgia is going to be a key state. We got to win it, no doubt.
There's no question about it. I agree with everybody that Vance cleaned the floor with that guy last night. That guy Walz, man, he's out there. And I honestly got to believe that in 2028, Vance will be the candidate, and he'll be running against Shapiro. And what concerns me a little bit is I hear too many people that are building up Shapiro, saying how superior he would have been to Walz. And I agree with that. And I just don't want what goes around comes around when it's 19 or 2028. Just concerns me a little bit.
Well, I think he would have been a superior pick. No question about it. Does that mean that that's going to help him become the Democrat nominee for president in 2028? No. I mean, it's two totally different things. Had she gone with Shapiro, she would have had a better chance of winning Pennsylvania, I think, than she does with Walz. But, you know, the problem for Josh Shapiro is going to be that by 2028, if Trump is president, it's going to be a very crowded field. So it's going to come down to whatever he does between 2025 and 2028. I mean, people saying he'd be a strong choice now is not going to have any bearing on that, in my opinion. So,
it just concerns me. I honestly think it'll come down to that. And Shapiro is by far a better vice presidential candidate than Walz. And I have a question I'd like to ask you.
Sure.
What percentage of the people who will end up voting for Harris this time are just doing that because they actually hate Trump? I mean, really, do you think it's at least a third of the votes she'll get?
Yeah, I do think it's probably about that number. I think it's a hatred for Trump that is irrational to the point of, and I think a good example of this are some of those Republicans, Jerry, I mean, Don, who are against Trump for no reason other than it's just Trump. And so they're willing to go with Kamala Harris, even though they know that he would be better on the economy and national security. But their hatred for him is just so much they can't get over it. And to me, I think that's a psychological issue with these people. I really do.
I agree.
So thank you, Don. I appreciate it, buddy. Because, you know, I mean, if you're willing to hurt yourself because you don't like a politician and you're willing to go up against your own self-interest, I think that's, and your country's self-interest too, not just your own, but your country's self-interest too, I think you got a screw loose. I really do. And the only argument they give is that Trump is a bad guy and a mean guy. And they bring up January 6th and you know, you're going to bring up the special counsel, but in policy, they know he's better. They know he's better in policy. Or you're in the warmonger class, and the warmonger class knows that from your perspective, he's not better on policy because he's not going to start another war for you. So there's that whole problem for you. All right, we got a big 5 o'clock hour coming up. We got breaking news all over the place regarding the special counsel. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.